This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We got to get to the Falcon Report. Lots of news coming down. Today we found out the Dogs and Georgia Tech are going to play at Mercedes-Benz. And it's a big payday for Georgia Tech. I know some Tech fans don't like the fact that their home game gets taken away. We had some big trades in the NFL we're going to certainly talk about. And also, we will talk more about the college football playoff because things are starting to get a little bit clearer. And after this weekend, we're going to have a couple of teams, potentially, guys, Georgia, maybe Tennessee, Alabama, who knows. Maybe Texas has its first loss. But teams with two L's are going to be looked at a little bit differently as we get to the committee at the end of the month, starting to make these rankings and saying, all right, how's the rest of the season play out? We will talk about all of that, Mike, here on the way. But what do you feel right now as we start to turn the page after this 38-20 win over Carolina as we start to prepare for Seattle? And by the way, Mike and I will be up at Flyer Branch tomorrow bringing you all the latest. Coach Rob will sit down with us. We'll have a couple players as well. And as always, this hour of Dukes and Bell is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, where it's Tuesday. Buy one, get one half off traditional wings. What you feeling, Mike?
Hey, man, I'm looking at the running numbers. The Falcons are one of the worst teams out there. We're in the bottom bottom quarter of the NFL teams as far as how much rushing yards were allowed. And we talk about the job that you saw Chuba Hubbard do, right? But the Seattle Seahawks, as Wes Drew Ham reminded us, are 32, 31, 30, 29, 20, 27th worst team in the league as far as rushing yards. They're allowing two more yards than we are. Again, no great shakes for us. But the idea that Wes brought up is we'll be able to run the football and hopefully play action. That opens up a lot of opportunities. So you feel good in that, you know, knock wood sense against Seattle. But you and I today, the buzzword has been pass rush because there's rumors the Jets are shopping Hassan Reddick.
Uh-oh.
And then as no sooner did I mention it, as we said last hour, that you find out that if you move for Hassan Reddick, well, you can't really do that. The Jets aren't going to trade it because then they have to give a bigger pick to the Eagles, because if they traded somebody to the NFC, that's why Hassan Reddick to the Lions, Carl, maybe becomes a little too cost prohibitive for the Jets. They'd have to give a higher compensatory pick, and now pops up to a second rounder. So we talked to John McClain. He says, nope, that's not going to happen. And I said, what about Max Crosby? He said, nope, the Raiders aren't going to trade him. So we're running out of, like, really big dudes to put
big
opposite
names.
Judah. So then a bunch of guys just hit us up in the text. They go, we'll go get Myles Garrett if the Browns are fine.
Yeah.
Are the Browns really going to trade Myles Garrett?
No. They traded Amari Cooper, but that doesn't mean they're trading Myles Garrett.
One of these things is not like the other.
I agree. Garrett's a beast. But I'm with you on this. I think we have to explore some of this as far as, all right, teams are trying to make some moves. We'll get to those moves coming up. Let's hear from Raheem Morris, Mike, because he talked about the defense allowing the offense to pull away in the second half. It was good, but this is what I wanted to see in the first half, and we weren't able to do it, but we got it done. Here's Raheem Morris.
Yeah, it was great, man. He went out there and got a couple stops, held him in a couple three-point plays. I mean, you know, three-point drives there, and really giving us a chance to get rolling on offense, allowing us to run the football, you know, getting the ball back a couple particular times there with A.J. getting his first pick in a long time, having Clark go out there and get his first pick and end the game and to seal that deal, I think is really big for all of us, right? It's all growing moments, and then obviously we'll talk about how do we get our pass rush better and all those things, and we'll do those things. And you got a chance to keep working at those things while you're winning, and that's always a good thing that we want to do.
Today's Falcon Report brought to you by the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. Rod, talking about a lot of things, Mike. I think the biggest thing for us is being 3-0 right in this division. We talked to John McClain last hour, longtime NFL writer. He was like, look, everybody loves Kirk Cousins. He said that. That's not us, right?
Right.
This is a guy that's covered the league for 35, 40 years, and he's like, everybody loves Cousins. Raheem Morris was talking about being 3-0 in this division and what it means.
You know, anytime you talk about playing in the South, you know, that's kind of what we set out, right? We talk about outrunning the South. And you got a chance to get three wins in the South in back-to-back fashion. That is always awesome. And that's what we want to be about, you know. And, like, you don't want to put any extra credit on three wins in a row. But, you know, why not just keep winning? Why not us? Somebody's got to do it.
Right on. I mean, look, we're in a good place right now. Good place in the division. Good place in the NFC standings. Hell, man, I would like the 2 seed right now. It'd be a short season if it ended, Carl. But, yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot of things. The only thing, and I'm not going to harp on it, but I will, you just got to get better on the run. And I'm wondering, why does Jimmy Lake's defense not help Ebikadi get the quarterback on the ground when last year's defense did? Nielsen's defense, Ebikadi had an impact. And you'd think with Judon on one side, Ebikadi, and however it rotates in.
It'd be better.
But it just isn't. And that's one of the questions I want to ask Coach, and hopefully he'll give us an answer tomorrow on it.
All right, one thing that people have been asking, why didn't Clark Phillips take it to the house? Raheem Morris was asked that same question.
That's this football team. You know, there's a bunch of guys going to give him a bunch of stuff on the sideline for not scoring, but I tell you what, man, that is a young heads-up play by a young man to end the football game right there, not put the defense back out there, allow some of the yards to come up and be to do those things, and you end the football game, you win games, and that is a smart play by a young football player, and I'm so proud of him.
Would you take it to the house?
I would have. These interceptions are too hard to come by, bro.
I would have high-stepped those last five yards like Dion.
No doubt.
No, I will say this. You know, you score that, it's 46-20.
Yeah.
And I get it, because now you just take a knee victory formation. But this is one of those, and it's not really analytics. It's just in the last 10 or 15 years, this has become a thing in college and pro.
It has.
In the old days, it was like, well, if I got you down by 3 scores, there ain't no way you're beating me.
Correct.
You know? And in this case, it would have been 4 scores, you know? So, I mean, I get it. It is the ultimate unselfish act, but, bro, get 6, man. Get a pick 6.
You're asking guys, all right, this is how I feel, Mike, but you're asking guys to not make plays. You're asking Clark Phillips, all you preach through camp, off-season OTAs, training camp, go to the house. Right. If you pick this thing off, Mike, how many times did we see a ball intercepted at camp and guys run the other way, and here comes all the defensive guys in practice? And you get in a game and you're like, hey, I know I need you to make a play, but don't take it to the house. It was a smart play.
Cut back at the 10, slide down at the 4. Bless your heart, Clark.
It's true. Yeah.
Now, again, you could argue you're up by 18, so that's, you know, that's 3 scores no matter how you slice it. And then you could say,
and it's not piling on, Mike, when you ask a guy to go make a play and he makes it and then he could take it to the house. He made a conscious choice not to do it.
And guys, I don't want you, if you're in your car, to be screaming at your radio, shut up, Mike. I'm just saying, it's just kind of funny because it's like.
It is, though.
I mean, yeah, 46-20, and then the defense has to go back on the field for another series. So, yes, I get it. It sped the game up. It ended the game with less opportunity for injury.
All right.
Oh, bless your heart, Clark.
I know. I'm like, Clark,
and
man. Like,
and they already covered. The only thing I took to the bank this week was this freaking game. So.
Well, you were on that one, no doubt about it. Let's talk about some of these moves, Mike. First and foremost, Davante Adams traded from the Raiders to the Jets today. He made an appearance as Aaron Rodgers, should I say, was on Pat McAfee.
Right.
And he made an appearance, you know, behind Aaron Rodgers when McAfee asked him, hey, when do you think you'll see Devontae? And he kind of looks behind him. How much does this make them better? I don't know. I watched this game last night. Jets are still tough to watch, bro. Offensively, they're still tough to watch.
Yeah, if you didn't see it last night, and with the penalties, and a lot of folks around the country, you and I aren't the only ones saying, the refs have got to get a handle on this. There's got to be some acceptable amount of something that doesn't affect the play, especially if there's a holding penalty or something which is away from the ball. The play, the dynamic of the play, the athlete cannot make a play because it being held had no bearing on it. He was on the other side of the field.
Right.
Some common sense has got to be dictated here with the NFL. That game was unwatchable with penalties. The most compelling moment was was Aaron Rodgers making his fourth Hail Mary touchdown throw. I said this to you twice. I don't understand how the Bills could do that. Sean McDermott going into halftime in the locker room, you could tell he was seething that they allowed that. Just two guys rush, so Aaron could just move around in the pocket, pick his spot, and then Lazard gets hit for the touchdown.
So that trade happens. We'll see how it improves the Jets. I know there'll be a lot of conversation surrounding it because those two do have a connection. The other move we mentioned, Amari Cooper traded from the Browns to the Bills.
And so the Bills now have got a bunch of guys, a young Keon Coleman,
yep,
and Diggs now has been replaced. There's a few other guys that have been dealing with injury at their wide receiver core. Obviously, who was the dude we had here with the Mac Hollins with no shoes? He's doing the same thing with Buffalo he does for us.
Yeah, he's still there, but the
nothing.
Bills, but the Bills did release Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Right.
So they had to let somebody go. That's who they let go. This should be an upgrade for them. I mean, Amari Cooper, if it motivated, and I guess he is. Listen, I've heard that a lot of Browns folks and players are disappointed with the quarterback play there in Deshaun Watson. He's going to a guy that hadn't thrown an interception all year in Josh Allen. So, right. I mean, look, I don't know if that takes, you know, the Bills over the top. But, Mike, they see the Jets make a move. They beat the Jets last night, and they're like, we're not losing this division. A
buddy of ours, Vince, on Twitter wrote, he goes, man, he's got to feel like Andy Dufresne getting out of Shawshank. You know? It's kind of funny. Amari Cooper crawled through 5 football fields at Brown's foulness. I don't even want to imagine. Hey, Falcons made some moves. Apparently, one of our special teamers got banged up. Micah Abernathy, he's on IR.
All right.
He's a backup safety. And we also we brought up Matt Hennessy. So Hennessy apparently is on the roster now, if I'm reading this correctly. So that there you go. Falcons making those moves today.
All right, coming up, strong arm story of the day. What's going on with the dogs? I mean, seriously. This is a big game this weekend. We'll dive into that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Going all the way back to, you know, the Jags and the Eagles, everybody else, but they don't have that kind of guy in the middle of their defense right now, and that's big. And then the injuries on the offensive line, it just, you can't sneeze at it. I don't think Kirby's being passive aggressive, but when he says, look, I got cheerleaders, not leaders, because Ratledge and guys are just not able to go right now.
No, he's right. Georgia AP top 25 is 5. What are they, 6, Chris, I think, in the other poll. Bottom line is, right now, here are the undefeated teams in the top 12 as we speak. Texas, Oregon, Penn State, Miami, Iowa State. Everybody else has one loss. Clemson, I think, could run the table, but they still have to play number 20 Pitt remaining on their schedule, but that's the only ranked team on their schedule.
They would get no more division, so they would get Miami if Miami runs a table, you know, 1-2 in the ACC in the championship.
And if Miami's undefeated and Clemson isn't, and they lose that game, a 2-loss Clemson team, this is what I'm talking about. Mm. This weekend, we're going to see Tennessee and Alabama play. And I've been talking about Alabama all day because, listen, I'm not sold when I see the penalties that they have. When you're talking about 8 flags a game from an Alabama team that traditionally has not been that undisciplined. And on top of that, Mike, they can't convert a third down. I mean, they're giving up 19 third downs, the defense, in the last 2 games. That's Vandy and South Carolina. You have a problem right now defensively. So for all the conversation about what's going on with Alabama, it's a lack of attention to details. Does he get that fixed in Kalen DeBoer? But we could be looking at a 2-loss Bama team if Tennessee handles business. They still got to get through Missouri and LSU. Mike, how do you view this at the end of the year if we're looking at a 2- or 3-loss Alabama or 3-loss Tennessee despite the strength of schedule?
Well, how does the College Football Playoff Committee look at this? It's still a huge brand. It's still a huge draw. And look, I'm with you. If Lenora Sellers just doesn't do something stupid, they maybe have another shot at a long field goal. Maybe they figure it out and they beat them outright. But I still think that the Bama brand is going to draw a lot of water. And I think that they, even though
a two-loss Bama
is
yes.
Now here's the unique rub with this playoff. If Penn State picks up a loss here or there and they don't win their conference championship, and maybe that goes to Ohio State, or maybe this is the year that Penn State actually knocks off Ohio State or Oregon beats Penn State. Imagine a 2-loss Alabama going to Happy Valley in the snow in December. This is one of those new wrinkles to this playoff, but it would be compelling television. And one thing we know about the College Football Playoff Committee, it's not about what's right, it's about what's ratings.
Ratings matter, but you can't discount the 1-loss teams that would be considered to be better and having a better season than the 2- and 3-loss teams, regardless of the brand. And that is what we're trying to accomplish. You only expand to get more teams in that make it more interesting.
Well, if Tennessee loses, they go home. How about that?
If they lose with 2 L's?
Loser, like wrestling. Loser leaves town, okay? What happens up at Neyland Stadium?
See, that's how I feel about this weekend. I'm just saying, and again, to Bama's point, to your point about Bama, maybe that is the case. But again, they still got 2 tough games on their schedule. I mean, hell, LSU's got to play Bama and A&M. They have one loss. I think once LSU loses two, they're probably done. Right.
But if Georgia beats Texas, you know, even though it seems like a real tough ask, you know, then Alabama's, you know, one of their losses to the potential number one team in the country.
And look, that's why this is such a big game, Mike, because it could sway these polls and certainly the committee one way or the other by the end of the month.
Ole Miss is dead to me. Are they dead to you? Now Georgia's going to
where are they? They're outside the top.
Yeah, they got 12. Ole Miss is sitting at 18 at 5-2. That's a bad loss to Kentucky.
They've got to run the table and hope for some help now. If you're telling me, and this is what this gets down to, and this is what's crazy. If you're telling me Bama has two losses, LSU has two losses, Clemson has two losses, Notre Dame has two losses, all those teams are not getting in over Ole Miss. They are.
Look, Texas A&M is a nice story now, but they're going to pick up another loss, most likely two. Now, again, if they play Texas close, that's different. But they've got a couple of tough teams. Their schedule's been relatively easy, aside from the loss to Notre Dame. They've got Miss State. By the way, Texas A&M throttled Missouri.
Oh, they beat the hell out of them.
Big time. But they got LSU, and all of a sudden LSU stock is coming up big time with another amazing win. Auburn to end the season, then Texas. But just real quick, to give you some of the SEC, I figure there's at least three, if not four, from the Big Ten and the SEC. And then the wild card becomes Ohio State and BYU in that Big 12.
Yeah, I'm not going to count out again until they lose. We'll see. Indiana 6-0. Army is 6-0. Let me tell you something. If Army runs a table, and let's just say Army-Navy plays each other and they're undefeated, Mike, that game's already big just from a patriotic standpoint. But the game itself could mean that Army could be in the 12. Right. Why not? Isn't that why we created this?
Well, that's the idea. And Army, not that it matters that one of the guys in the College Football Playoff Committee is from the Air Force, but it was one of those things. The idea was for the little guys to have a piece of the pie. The problem is the little guys have all joined the bigger conferences, SMU's in the ACC.
Sure, sure.
And we talked about, you know, BYU is now in the Big 12. The other one that's interesting is Pitt. You mentioned Pitt. They're undefeated right now. They're winning, living dangerously and barely covering. Illinois is 5-1. But I still feel, at the end of the day, we're going to have all the name brands. 12. So figure out how you get three from each.
Regardless of L's?
I think Alabama, two losses is in.
This is what I'm saying to you. Two seems like it's okay.
Right.
But you still have to maneuver the rest of the schedule. Mike, all of these teams are not going to win out.
No.
There are going to be three lost teams in this 12.
But that's where, here we go back to little guy, big guy argument. Do you put if Boise State wins the rest of their games, a one-loss Boise State over a big conference team with three losses?
Okay, so this is where, again, we get back to strength of schedule. If Alabama's schedule with two losses is better than Boise State's with two losses, then give me Bama. But that becomes the argument. And by the way, Bama fans, you don't have to worry about this if you don't lose again.
And by the way, Boise State is interesting, even though their schedule is crap as far as ranked opponents, they only lost by 3 to Oregon, which is interesting if Oregon continues to remain in the top 3. By the way, speaking of Oregon, sidebar to the rankings conversation, do you believe that Dan Lanning and his coaching staff had that 12 men on the field dialed up?
I saw it.
Or is this revisionist nonsense in a post-game press conference?
I saw it right after the game, how brilliant this was to take an additional four seconds off the clock for Ohio State to put Dan Lanning basically had 12 defensive players on the field. They get called for a flag. The ball is moved, but it's still not a first down for Ohio State. And in the meantime, they took time off the clock that's not being put back on. And then, as Mike mentioned yesterday, Ohio State did a terrible job of clock management. People are saying it's a flaw in the rule book and that it's going to have to be addressed because Dan Lanning basically said, get out there! We'll take the flag, but the clock's going to run, so we don't care. I don't know, Mike. If they did, that was brilliant. And again, if it's within the rules right now, it probably won't be next season.
I just know, I'm not trying to be the contrarian or the Weisenheimer. It's just that the way things are structured and just the way we've sort of interpreted, reading the tea leaves of the College Football Playoff Committee, it's generally been big brands. Florida State was a big brand.
Sure.
But they didn't pass the eye test because of the quarterback situation. I just think that...
I think it's great. Here's the thing. This is almost like the NCAA committee, though, Mike. I'll say this. And we'll see. I mean, we could be wrong how they look at this. I do agree with you with the big brands, but I also think America loves
the underdog. Right.
And the committee knows that. So if you're telling me one of these teams that we're talking about, whether it's Army or Indiana, which, again, has never had any tradition, and this is the first time they've ever played for something, the committee's going to put them in if they deserve and they're undefeated.
I know it's apples to oranges, and it's gone from 4 to 12, which changes the entire paradigm, but the idea that a ranked conference champion, because their quarterback wasn't in there, you weren't good enough for the playoff, you're telling me that they're going to take a plucky Boise State or Indiana over one of the bigger brands?
Well,
I know Indiana's in a Power Five. I get that.
Yeah.
But there's the only school, guys, who's not in a Power Five that Carl mentioned is Army.
Yes.
And if Army finds a way, and all of a sudden the Army-Navy game you and I are going to be at up in D.C., is huge if they continue to run the table. The good news is we haven't even gotten to the college football playoff rankings, and even though we start fretting and wringing our hands right now, it generally works out. And now with 12 teams, it's going to work out.
Well, it's going to work out, but somebody's still going to be left out, and we will be arguing about two loss and three loss teams.
Well, and you know, you just touched on it. Guess what? Next year, sports fans, when they see all the money, the truckloads of money they're going to make, it'll be up to 16 teams.
Hey, guys, this hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's Tuesday. Buy one, get one half off traditional wings. Hey, make the call now. Get it delivered or stop. And get your Buffalo Wild Wings. We're coming back. We got a lot more to dive into. College football. People are going nuts, by the way. Leave them alone, Dukes. Okay, I will. It's Dukes and Bell. You know, sometimes in our wonderful city, things are happening right in our backyard, and you don't even know. Like the NFL owners' meetings going on here today. And to get you caught up to speed, first of all, these meetings happen periodically throughout the offseason. This is one of many and one that they'll have again through the course of the season. But a couple of things came out of this meeting today. One of them is that the Jags are not moving to London, that they are going to get their new stadium. So the good news is that, you know, the London thing is great and they'll continue to be over there. But Shad Khan, the owner of the Jags, basically convincing the other owners, hey, they unanimously, Mike, approved plans to transform Everbank Stadium and a new lease between the Jags and the city of Jacksonville. So they're not going anywhere. They're going to get what they wanted, and they'll be there for a very long time.
That coincides with the home and home for Georgia and Florida, right?
It does. It absolutely does, and that plays a role. Mike mentioned this to me, and I know he wants to talk about it later. Tom Brady becomes an NFL owner. We talked about that, you know, being voted on today here in Atlanta, and it was. And also the next four Super Bowl sites. So this is what I wanted to get to, because – this is big news for us today here in the ATL. We get the 2028 Super Bowl that's going to be here. It's our city's fourth Super Bowl. It's the stadium second, Mercedes-Benz second since it's been built. But, Mike, that is great news. So now you're looking at New Orleans, Santa Clara, right? New Orleans.
49ers, right?
Yeah, this year. Santa Clara, Inglewood, and then us, which is, of course, SoFi Stadium. So those are the next four venues, 25, 26, 27. We get it in 28.
Which is great. It's actually 9 years. So two Super Bowls in 9 years for us at Mercedes-Benz and everything that entails. World Cup, college football championships, Super Bowls. I mean, we got the state-of-the-art facility. Don't have to remind Falcon fans. How great is that, though, the impact? And then one thing we talked about earlier with Wes, imagine how we're seeing the work really starting. It's like a giant jigsaw puzzle coming together down there at Centennial Yards with all the buildings going in. So imagine you have this entertainment complex down there. And let's be honest, guys, downtown, with all due respect to down by the Capitol, it ain't been great the last couple of decades. So to actually have something going on downtown for people that are coming to stay, it's going to be something. You and I spent some time at Signia the other day. It's just amazing all the cool stuff that's happening in that part of town.
No doubt. And you'll actually have a vibrant, you know, living area as well. I mean, I said this. The way to get people downtown, it's no secret, is you have to give them things to want to do. But more importantly, Mike, places to live and things that, you know, hey, this is somewhere I want to be because there's so much happening. No, who the hell wanted to move out and be by the ballpark, Mike, 6 years ago if you would have told somebody, hey, they're going to build a ballpark and they're going to build the battery around it and it's going to be so cool, you're going to want to move there. There's a ton of folks that live over there now that are like, hey, this is great. Same thing you're hoping to happen downtown. But, yes, Centennial Yards is going to be great. But I'm cool. I'm very happy about the fact that we get a Super Bowl. And, by the way, I know many of the owners are in their limos or whatever you guys are doing right now. I want to extend an offer, Mike, to Jerry Jones to come onto this show.
Yes.
I defend Shan and RJ, my guys in Dallas, for what they asked you today, Jerry. So if Jerry's listening, you can call this show and atone for what you did earlier.
That's right. And if Ursay is listening, hey, man, we'll meet you over at the Cheetah. Let's get it on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Some scotch?
Well, I think he's on the wagon right now.
Oh, my bad.
Don't want to get you in trouble there, Jim, but just in case. And by the way, I was going to save this for Clear Your Throat at the end of the show, but just real quick, because I think it's something I put out on Twitter, and a lot of audience members are going, that makes no sense. Because, to Carl's point, Tom Brady is now a minority partner with the Raiders. That's official. He can't do anything that really helps him with his job. The restrictions, because when you are working with one team, you really can't affiliate with another team. He's not permitted to be in another team's facility. He can't witness practice. Tom Brady can't attend broadcast production meetings, either in person or virtually. Wow. So in other words, you're the number one analyst team. You're getting paid $35 million by Fox, and you can't even sit down with Coach Dan Campbell or whoever the week of the big game. It's asinine.
That is.
He's prohibited from publicly criticizing game officials and other clubs because he's an owner now. So he can't even say something that you and I would be screaming at a bar or sitting on our couch. And he's subject to NFL's anti-tampering policy, which is ironic considering that Stephen Ross reached out to him when he was a Buccaneer.
It's true.
The Dolphins owner.
Yeah, Mike, you bring up valid points. I don't like this just from a broadcasting standpoint because those are the things you hope that they have freedom to do.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions.
Come on, Jerry. You can call in 404-726-0929. I know you're here. But, Mike, that doesn't make any sense. And for Tom Brady, how do you approach this, right? I mean, we know he knows the game, but part of this is the insight that you get from those meetings, Mike, the insight you get from watching practice or seeing some of the stuff that's going on. Either way, and I was just looking at this Jacksonville deal. So it's a $1.4 billion stadium of the future is what they're calling it.
Right.
And I was just looking at the numbers. $625 million each side is going to pay for the $1.2 billion project, and the city of Jacksonville will not levy any new taxes to fund its part, but it's going to chip in another $150 million in deferred maintenance to get the stadium ready for construction, and apparently it's going to open in 2028 or be ready in 2028.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of folks, by the way, are hitting us up on the text line going, none of that makes any sense about what we just told you about with the Tom Brady situation. That's nuts. The other thing today also, just for guys who missed it earlier at the top of the hour, we mentioned in the Falcon Report, we're waiting for an edge rusher, right? I guess a lot of folks feel, can we go get an edge rusher? According to John McClain, the Raiders are not going to come off of Max Crosby. He's, you know, that's one guy that's just a benchmark guy. It's funny, we've literally gone down their line, Carl, of elite pass rushers. Then listeners on the text line go, well, let's just go get Myles Garrett. Well, are the Browns fire sailing it?
No.
Because Myles Garrett would not be a third-round pick. Myles Garrett would be worth a first-round pick.
Correct. Absolutely.
Although the foot injury, some guys would try to quibble over a second round because he is dealing with a condition, but still, the guy's one of the elite rushers in the league. And I know before you get to it, Hassan Reddick, we talked about this earlier. Hassan Reddick likely not going to replace Aiden Hutchinson or, you know, to fill in, because if the Jets traded him to an NFC team, it kicks the compensation for the Eagles from a third rounder up to a second rounder, so the Jets wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, and the Jets today made a deal to go get Devontae Adams. If you are just tuning in, they've already restructured his contract to lower his cap number this season. Duh. So that number's down to $3.21 million. All that stuff doesn't concern me. They made this work. For everybody that said, how are they going to trade for him? What are they going to give up? Jets basically gave up a second. This is a third that could turn into a second. But, Mike, Devontae Adams was on a red eye and was there in New York today already making appearances with his quarterback and Aaron Rodgers. And so, guys, this has been talked about. This is Aaron Rodgers again making moves for the organization. And who else? I got to ask you guys this, and I said this today on this podcast, Mike, in the huddle. Who else is getting everything they need in the NFL? What quarterback? Patrick Mahomes is not getting all of this.
Right. Now we talked about they're not going to trade within the division, but you're right. He's always had to do – let's be honest, he's winning Super Bowls with fish heads and rice at wide receiver and Kelsey.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, if you get down to brass tacks, and they'll have to go make some more moves again this year because of some of the injury things, and when does Rashee Rice ever come back? And then once he comes back, he may get suspended. But either way, they got nothing, and this guy's getting everything. And then, you know, other than making that a ridiculous Hail Mary throw, and Aaron Rodgers, by the way, in true Aaron Rodgers fashion, you see through Mike Williams under the bus – who's now
he
rumored
threw all his teammates under the bus.
Mike Williams runs the route, slips, falls down, can't come back to the ball, and the game is over on a pick. And, of course, you know, Aaron Rodgers could have said, hey, tough break. No, true Aaron Rodgers fashion, just completely just basically craps on the play and the guy and tries to don't do it under the guise of how the play was developed. It's Aaron Rodgers, guys. I like what Jason LaConfora said. He's just a jerk. It is what it is. He's just a jerk.
So, Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.